This is an extract from the Nature podcast. For the full show, visit nature.com/nature/podcast.
In 1902, electrical engineer Hertha Ayrton was proposed as a Fellow of the Royal Society. She was a distinguished scientist, acclaimed for her studies on, among other things, electric lighting. But the Royal Society Council denied Hertha entry because she was married. Hertha wasn't the only scientific woman working in the early 20th century to experience sexism. Women wanting to aim high in science faced tough challenges. But then came the First World War. Women with scientific minds were called upon to help with the war effort. But instead of raising them to the level of equals with male scientists, the war effort was only a partial liberation. That's according to science historian Patricia Farah from Cambridge University in the UK. In Nature this week, as the centenary of World War I approaches, she writes about women and science in the Great War. I called Patricia and began by asking her what women's status was in science in pre-war times.
There were very few women indeed who were involved in science, and there were a few isolated places where women could work. So, for example, at Cambridge, where there were two laboratories that were just for women, and also in Imperial College in London, there were several women. They could do research to some extent. What they weren't allowed to do was lecturing.
And what sort of research were they carrying out?
Every field, just as they are now. So, for example, Hertha Ayrton was a physicist, an electrical engineer. There were quite a lot of people doing the biological sciences, the chemical sciences, medical sciences. I mean, then as now, right across the spectrum, but there were just so few of them that every individual woman was really unique and very unusual.
And what was their experience like in the workplace?
I think it depended very much on who was in charge of the laboratory. So if they were lucky enough to be working in Cambridge in one of the women's only laboratories, I think they found life much easier and they were able to pursue their research very effectively.
But some women were subject to sexism. In what sorts of ways did they experience this?
Well, they often weren't allowed in the lectures, or for example, if they were studying medicine, they weren't allowed into a lot of the practical classes, so they couldn't dissect cadavers, and that was one problem for, in particular for doctors. In the sciences, women who were very highly qualified saw men who were less qualified getting their jobs. Even if they did manage to get a job, they were only paid 2/3 of the rate that men were paid.
And what happened when war broke out?
Initially, not very much, because most people thought that the war would be over in a few months. And although a lot of women did volunteer to help, that offer was turned down by the War Office and by the government and by the army because they thought that it was completely inappropriate for women to do that sort of work. I think the women were very patronised. They were paid far less than the men for the same work. They were given the very boring, repetitive work. And that had a permanent effect on science, even going on after the war.
And what about for those women that did find jobs within research? Was it linked to their expertise in their field that they were working in before the war?
The women in top levels of science, I think, were probably the only group that were affected in exactly the same way by the war as the men. That men and women in very high levels of research were taken away from their normal field and they were put in some related field to study something that would be directly relevant for the war effort. So, for example, if they were a chemist, they would be put into studying explosives. If they did pharmacology, they would have to study malarial drugs. So for a few years, their normal research was arrested, put on hold, and they did research that was specifically related to the war effort.
And just going back to the women that were working at home and not abroad, what sort of research and what sort of activities were they carrying out?
There was a lot of research into explosives. So at Imperial College, for example, there was a big trench dug in the gardens and women were working in there developing new kinds of explosives. They were testing poison gases. They were developing new kinds of munitions, a lot of work on drugs.
So overall, the war enabled a lot more women to enter science.
It was a temporary window of opportunity, if you like, and it certainly proved beyond doubt that women were absolutely capable of doing the work.
So they were capable, but often confined to the more routine aspects of science. You said before that this has had a permanent effect on science. How?
I think we have inherited a lot of unconscious attitudes that have come to us from the past, and we don't really realise they're there. So I'm very involved at Cambridge in programmes to encourage young women to do science, repeatedly trying to find measures that can alter this discrimination. And it can be something as seemingly unimportant as the pictures you've got on the wall of a laboratory or the people who've written the articles that you've got in a bibliography that you give your students. There can be ways like that in which you're very subtly and certainly unwittingly and affecting the position of women or the way that the women perceive themselves. Because for me, that is the point of doing history, is to try and improve the situation for future generations.
That was Patricia Farah from Cambridge University.